Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us.
Cage fighters work really good for crewmen. And just tough kids. And it's harder to find tough kids anymore. People are getting softer.
Today's guest is Tom Fulkerson. Tom is a local fisherman, and he fishes off of the boat, the Rosemarie. Tom, tell us a little bit about how long you've been fishing commercially.
Well, it's been about 33 years, I guess, I've been in the commercial fishing business.
And how did you get started in the business? Was your family involved in fishing, or
family was not involved in the fishing business in any way. They were musicians. My dad had a sailboat, and I kind of got introduced to sailing. Most of my friends, because I grew up in Trinidad on the water, my friends' parents were fishermen, so I would spend a lot of time around the docks. So I spent my childhood on the water, playing around the boats, and my uncle and aunt fished salmon in the summers, rock cod, and I'd go out with them when I was little. We spent hours and days on the ocean when I was a kid.
What different types of fish are you fishing for when you're out there?
Albacore, Dungeness crab, and salmon are my main fisheries now. It's mostly crab and albacore, and crab being my main fishery.
What has changed over the years in terms of the fish that you have been able to fish for?
There was a dry spell with salmon fishing, I think, in the 80s. I started out in 78 and fished salmon for a few years. They closed the Klamath Management Zone for salmon, so I kind of just started crabbing more, and just that was my main fishery for years. And I got bigger boats as I went along, and eventually was able to travel down to the Bay Area, you know, and fish for salmon. So I've started doing a little bit of salmon fishing in the last 10 years, I guess. We're not doing much of that here lately, but that's kind of what we do.
What are the things that affect your ability to make a living as a fisherman?
There's been a lot of doomsday, you know, talk in the fisheries over the years, even when I started fishing. You know, I've always been able to make a living at it, and nothing has really changed that much other than the salmon fisheries have been shut down in this area. Crabbing is still really good. We've had some record years in the last few years. Dungeness and albacore has come back. It was slow for quite a few years during the 80s, early 90s. The high seas drift nets, there's, you know, a ban that offshore here, and you know, fisheries has picked up for the states on this coast. We've done pretty well over the last 10 years since I've had my new boat. We've done pretty well for albacore.
Were those international ships coming in, catching
Japanese,
a lot of everything?
Yeah. Longliners and that sort of thing. And the high seas gill nets, I think, were the main problem. You know, we seem to catch more fish now than we did back in the 70s and 80s.
And what are the costs involved in commercial fishing?
I try not to think about that. But, you know, I don't know, 40, 50% or something like that. You know, it just depends. You know, I don't know. I've never stopped to try and average it out, but it can be expensive because of the maintenance.
And what type of fishing do you do with your boat?
We troll salmon. That's trolling salmon with lines, and you go really slow for salmon. Just all our fisheries are either a trap or hook and line, and albacore is the same way. We just fish with hooks. I think we have like 12 hooks on the water is all. When we're fishing albacore, you see it on the can. It's dolphin safe. You know, that's kind of what we do, is all pretty much low impact on any other marine life.
I think what I've heard is it's pretty low in mercury.
Low in mercury. The fish that we catch on this coast are small. Well, not real small, but they're lower in mercury as where, say, the big bluefin or, you know, that's sort of the bigger fish, the big albacore, I think they have a little more mercury in them.
And when you do go out, what is your average day like?
We start pretty early. You know, we kind of, your buddies, you know, you meet down at the dock in the evening, or you talk, what time are you going to get down here? When are you going to be here? Oh, I don't know. We were talking about 5, 6 maybe. And maybe you'll sneak down there an hour early when you think you're going to be there at 6. You know, you show up at 5 and beat them out or something. But Most of the time, you know, we get out around 4 or 5 o'clock, leave the bay. Depending on if it's the beginning of the season, we'll stay out for 2-3 days, a week. Sometimes if we're close to port, we'll come in and tie up for the night. Sometimes if you're tired, you tie up 9, 10 o'clock at night. We'll just sleep on the boat, or if we've got a little energy left, you'll drive home and sleep in your own bed. Kind of goes like that. My crew, they're in their 20s, so as I'm going to sleep, they're heading back up through the forecastle with clothes on, heading God knows where to the bar, maybe.
Uh-huh.
And they don't come back till midnight or 2 a.m., and uh-huh. they, for some reason, can do it.
I can only do that for a certain
crazy, amount
of time.
But then I remembered being 20, and that's what I used to do, too. And so uh-huh. that's kind of how that goes. They're ready to go 24/7.
Uh-huh. So when you do come in with your catch, what do you do with it? How do you sell it? Do you line that up ahead of time, and do you have specific people you sell to?
Yeah, we sell to Wild Planet. There's Pacific Choice and Kaido Fisheries are the main buyers in Eureka. You know, for Dungeness crab, that's pretty much all it is. There's a couple boats that might sell a few off the dock, off their boat, you know, to the public. It's kind of how that goes. Albacore's, they sell albacore, and I've sold albacore off the boat at the marina. Try to get signs up, and then you run and get a scale, get down in the morning, and then it's like a job. You just come down at 6, 7 in the morning and sell fish all day, and we usually fire the barbecue up and hand out samples and try different marinades each day and hand out more samples. And
do you can tuna yourself, or are you just done with tuna when you're done fishing?
No, I like messing around with tuna. We usually fill our freezer. We have a 24 cubic foot freezer at home, and I try to fill it up. Last year, some friends came over and pretty much wiped me out, and I didn't get to can much. I think we got a couple cases. This year, I still have a half a freezer full, and we've got, I don't know, we canned 5 or 6 cases so far. We're going to try and can some more before crab season, but we like canning it. I've got, I think, 5 canners now. And
wow.
So, sister and I kind of have a thing. We get together on Sundays and can fish. And Jennifer and I, my fiance, she's part of that now. We bring her kids over. We're going to be canning at least one more round before crab season, I hope.
Okay. Tom, what is it you love about being out on the water?
Well, I think best part about a fishing job, and fishing, the check comes every 2 weeks, and you really, unless you keep really close attention, you have no idea what you're going to make. You might make $500, you might make $5,000.
Uh-huh.
So I think that was one of the best parts, is not knowing, you know, living your life by a paycheck. It's a good line of work for young people in the 20s. You know, there's not as many young people anymore that want to work hard. It's getting harder to find young, tough kids. You need people that are tough.
Mm-hmm.
Cage fighters work really good for crewmen. And just tough kids. And it's harder to find tough kids anymore. People are getting softer as time goes by. You know, my grandfather was a logger, and his hands were as big as baseball mitts, you know. And just harder to find those guys anymore. And sometimes you got to teach some kids how tough they can be.
The other side of it, too, is there aren't that many opportunities. If you do want to work out of doors, there aren't that many jobs where
right.
you really can do that.
It gets in your blood. I mean, that's the way it was for me. When I first started fishing, I was like, wow, this is so cool. You're outside, and you stay fairly warm because you're working, mm-hmm. and you're rolling around on the ocean, splashing around. It's something that you just get sucked into, and it gets in your blood, and you really get to where you really like it. And you just never know what's going to come up in the next trap. And you get addicted to that, and from season to season, what are we going to have next year? You know, is it going to be better next year? Oh, man, I can't wait.
Uh-huh.
Kind of attitude. And that's kind of how it is for me still, just looking forward to another year. And it looks like we're going to have a couple, 2-3 really good seasons coming up, I think, possibly. So we're kind of looking forward to that, hoping we don't have any breakdowns or anything to screw things up.
And how about cooking fish? What's your favorite way to prepare fish? Do you cook it?
Yeah, definitely.
You're the fish
crab
cooker.
Is, when anybody asks that question, back in 1997, we were on strike for 3 months. And we didn't have a lot of money coming in, so we basically sport fished for 3 months and cooked crab in every conceivable way I could think of. The boiled crab was the best. That's
good.
What it came down to. The boiled crab and, you know, drawn butter or whatever you want on a salad or a crab sandwich was the best way that I could come up with to cook crab. As far as albacore goes and salmon, I think the best trick is don't overcook it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where people make the biggest mistake. You can almost do anything with any marinade, or, you know, salt and pepper is basically my favorite for salmon or albacore. We use soy vey, Chinese marinade, and that is a good way to go with albacore. Marinate it for 20 minutes or an hour or something, and then just make sure you don't overcook it. You really have to watch what you're doing. You can't take any phone calls. That's my advice. Don't take any phone calls. Don't answer any questions. Mm-hmm. And just really focus on what you're doing, because you really can screw it up within a minute. It can be ruined. Salmon's kind of the same way. It's maybe a little more forgiving. Just watch it really careful. I usually like to take it off just before it's done and let it finish cooking on the plate.
Well, that sounds good. It's making me hungry for some seafood for this coming month. This is Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking with Tom Fulkerson, fisherman.
Grapes and the cakes, hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.